hymn book is where we'll be. But Psalm chapter 4 tonight, as we look at fortified faith, or I guess you could say how to have fortified faith, faith that can stand the test of time, that can stand in any circumstance. So Psalm chapter 4, and we'll read the entire psalm. It's only 8 verses. And remember, the superscription at the top is a part of the inspired text and has, and tonight you'll see, has a lot to say to us just as it did last week. But the Bible says, "To the chief musician on Neginoth, a psalm of David. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing? Selah. But know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety." As we look tonight on a fortified faith, let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord, for this wonderful opportunity you have given me to expound upon your word. Lord, my words tonight are not what is important, but your word is. So please give me the ability to handle it correctly. And I pray, Lord, that you would open the ears of every person in this room to receive it. And if they are your children, give them the grace to be obedient to it. And Lord, if they do not know you, may I pray tonight would be the night you open their eyes to their need, convict them of their sins, draw them to you, and save them before they leave this place. Lord Jesus, I pray you'd speak to us. Speak through me now. I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we look at this psalm and we think about a fortified faith, as we dive in, point number one, I guess you could say, is by way of introduction, we see in verse number two his persecution. And when I say his, I'm referring to David. Actually, let me back up. I'm getting ahead of myself here. I almost skipped a superscription myself. We see here, by way of introduction, it says, "To the chief musician on Neginoth, a psalm of David." And you may say, what in the world does that mean? Well, I'm glad you asked. To the chief musician means to the choir director of the choir of Israel here. To the chief musician, to the choir director. So to the chief musician, to the choir director on Neginoth. And they are to play for this song on stringed instruments. And you may say, Pastor Tyler, what does this have to say? What does that mean? Well, what that means is this is meant to be read and meant to be sung in the house of God. This was a personal psalm for David, but God has given it to you and me to read it and even to sing it publicly in the house of God. This also puts a priority on coming to the house of God. We need each other. We need to come together. God has given us this psalm so that we can fortify our faith, so that when time does come and we are in trouble like David was, and we'll talk about in a moment, we'll be able to be like David and stand firm and trust God and praise God in the midst of whatever storm we're going in. God wants you to have fortified faith. I heard one preacher say today, God wants our faith to be ambidextrous. And I don't know if you know what that, a lot of you may not know what that means, everybody may. But I always knew that in baseball, they could bat on both sides of the plate, or they could throw with either hand is really the main one. They could throw with either hand or catch with either hand. And what does that mean in this situation? That means we need to be able to have faith in the good times, but also in the bad times. See, a fortified faith is a faith that stands firm when times are good and it's sunny like it is outside right now, or when times are bad and maybe spiritually in our lives we're in a time of trouble. David had a fortified faith. So in hard times, he was able to look to God and find the peace that he needed, and we'll see in a moment, to be enlarged, to be strengthened, and to trust God, even in the face of an enemy. That's what God wants for us. That's why it's important that we come together as a body, so that we can be fortified together. So you can fortify your faith, and I can fortify my faith. And as we do that, we're fortifying each other and becoming strong together. So when trouble does come, we're in it together. We're not in this fight alone. Praise God. I need you. I need you in this fight. I cannot fight it alone. But together we can, by the grace of God. So we see there the superscription to the musician, to the choir director, on neginoth, on stringed instruments. I don't know what instrument I'm playing there. Every time I do that, I'm playing something. I don't know what it is. But on stringed instruments, a psalm of David. Now, it is believed, now to point number one, his persecution. It is assumed, I should say, that this psalm is connected to Psalm 3. Now, do we know that for sure? No. No one knows that because it doesn't tell us. But we believe it's connected to the previous psalm. The previous psalm, number 3, they refer to as the morning psalm. And we see here psalm number 4 is referred to as the evening psalm because it talks about in the last verse, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. And I guess you could say we've got a prayer for in the morning and for in the evening. If we're in a time of trouble, God's given us some prayers to pray, scriptures to cling to trust Him morning or evening, every single day. But we see here, if this is when David is being pursued by his son Absalom, or if it's in another instance of trouble that he's in, it does not take away from the text us not knowing exactly what it was. He's in trouble. And we don't know what trouble we're going to face in the future. But if we fortify our faith, we can know that we will remain strong and trust God through whatever it is. So we see here his persecution in verse number 2. The Bible says, O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing or lying? Selah. So this, it's continuing from chapter 3. David is possibly being pursued by his son, or he's in a time of trouble or persecution. He's having a hard time. And the question we need to ask ourselves is, if we were in a similar situation, how would we respond? Would we respond like David is about to? Or would we tuck tail and run? Is our faith a faith that is fortified, that can stand whether it's good or whether it's bad? Or are we a fair weather faith person? If we're fair weather, we need to fortify our faith. And even if everyone in here has fortified faith, we can fortify it more. We can always get better. We can always get stronger. We can always draw closer. But we see here his persecution. He's still in trouble. He's still in a hard time. But we see his prayer. Notice David's first response in time of trouble is to turn to God. Heard a preacher say today, we need to be sure that prayer is our first response and not our last resort. Prayer needs to be what we do first, not when we've tried everything we can try, just like the men on the boat that housed Jonah. They did everything they could do and then finally did the one thing they needed to do. We need to train ourselves, and we'll talk more about that later. We need to be like David, to turn to God first. God's ready, God's willing, and God's waiting to be heard, to hear our prayer and respond. But God's a perfect gentleman, and he will not force himself into your situation. He wants to be invited, and when you invite him, you unleash the power of heaven in whatever situation it is you're struggling with. But we see David, we see his prayer in verses 1 and verse 3. Three things about his prayer. First off, we see his prayer, we see his countenance. Look what it says in verse number 1. I love this. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. So David is saying here, and he's coming really boldly to God. And you can even say this could be an exclamation point statement. But he says here, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. He comes to God boldly. Some people may say, well, that's arrogant of him, coming before the God of the universe boldly. Well, maybe you may think that. But one thing we need to be reminded, why can he come boldly to the throne of grace? Look what he says. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. He can come boldly to the throne of grace because his righteousness does not rest in him, but in God. We can come boldly, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. You can come before God boldly in prayer because your righteousness is not in you if you're a child of God, but it's in Christ. And you can come in his righteousness, and God is ready to hear your prayer. You can come boldly. David was saying, and he's not saying, Lord, hear me. He's basically saying, Lord, respond, act, answer my prayer. He can say that because his righteousness is not in himself, but in the God of his righteousness. The Bible says our righteousness is filthy rags. It's only adults in here. Our righteousness, that literally means menstrual cloths. The best 5 seconds of our life is filthy rags in the eyes of God. We cannot be good enough to get saved. We cannot be good enough to keep our salvation. We cannot be good enough to earn a hearing from God. But because we're children of God, we can come boldly to the throne of God before our Father and cry, Abba, Father. And he will hear our prayer. David came, we see his countenance. He came boldly because he was righteous before God, not in himself, but in Christ. You say, well, Pastor Tyler, Christ wasn't even born yet. Salvation has and always will be by grace through faith. They were looking to the cross. We look back at the cross, but the cross is and always will be the source of salvation and forgiveness. So we see his prayer, his countenance. He came boldly, but we also see his confidence. At the second half of verse number 1, it says, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Then we see also in verse number 3, it says, but know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Two things about his confidence. First, he was confident because of God's past faithfulness. Look what he says in verse number 1 again. He says, thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. He says, you've done it before, God. You see, he said, Lord, I've been in a tight spot before, and I cried unto you, and when I was in distress, and I was pressed down, and I was being persecuted or being fought, and you enlarged me. He says, you've done it before, God. Do it again. And if you've been a child of God any time at all, you can say the same thing. You've done it before, God. Do it again. And yet, if you are, I hope you are, a student of the Word of God, as you read the Bible, you say, God, you've done it before. Do it again. David was confident because he knew of God's past faithfulness in his Word and to himself. But not only because of his past faithfulness, but because of God's promised faithfulness. It says there in verse number 3, but know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. We have been set apart, sanctified, set apart for and by God. It says, the Lord will hear when I call unto him. The Lord promises to hear the prayer of his children. He has set us apart. He's going to be faithful to us because we're his. And I praise the Lord for that. So we see his persecution. We see his prayer, his countenance. Because of his prayer, we see his countenance. We see his confidence. And this is very important. We also see his comprehension. He's got an understanding of himself that we need to carry with us every day. The Bible says at the end of verse number 1, it says, have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. He's basically saying, God, I do not deserve for you to answer my prayer. He's really asking for grace. He's asking God to give him unmerited favor, to do something by his power for him, understanding that he does not deserve it. And may the Lord help us as children of God to never think we deserve anything from God. That's why I love Brother Bruce Fry's song. No matter how bad any day is, it truly is better than we deserve. We deserve the worst in every circumstance. And when we come before God, understanding who we are and what we truly deserve, then when we pray, David here, a man after God's own heart, godlier than we'll ever be, is saying, Lord, have mercy on me, and please answer my prayer. That's how we need to come. You say, well, he came boldly. Yes, he came confidently, trusting God was going to hear an answer. But he also came with a comprehension, understanding who he really was. We need to keep that mindset. There's somebody I've been in communication with recently in reference to a current situation. This person said, I've been the godliest this year in this situation than I've ever been. Does that sound like a statement of spiritual maturity to you? No. As we get closer to God, the more we see of our flaws and our failures, and the more we see of how little we deserve and how rotten we are. People think when the closer we get to God, the higher we can get on the pedestal and the more we can hold our head up and poke our chest out. But in all reality, the closer we get to God, the lower it brings us spiritually in our heart of ourself. Because that's where God wants us. He can use someone that's humble. The Bible even talks about before honor is humility. God's got to bring us low before he can bring us high. And David understood that. So when you come to God, yes, come boldly, confidently, believing God is going to answer. But come understanding, you don't deserve anything from him. David did that. May the Lord help us to do the same. So we see his prayer, his countenance, his confidence, his comprehension. Then we see David unloads his heart. And as David does, once he unloads his heart, he gives it to God, he trusts God. And we see number three, we see his praise. Then he begins to worship. Remember Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. If it's done right and you want the peace in the time of trouble, prayer, supplication with thanksgiving. There's got to be worship in there. You say, well, I'm in a hard time. I'm in distress. Have you ever been being chased by your son and his army trying to kill you? And on the run, not knowing if you're going to live tomorrow. And then he's here praising God. I don't think we're going to be in that situation. I may be chased by my dog sometime, but not by my son. And I'm not afraid for my life. David's in trouble, but he can worship God. You know why? Because he has a fortified faith. He has built it up. And look, we see his praise. Two things about his praise I want to point out in verse number 7. We see it has been transplanted, given to him. Look at verse number 7. Thou hast put gladness in my heart. His gladness came from God. Anything good or that enables us to praise God and worship God through a trial comes from God. Our flesh wants to see the worst in every situation. Our flesh wants to be a Debbie Downer. Our flesh wants to be a discouragement. But God wants to encourage. God wants us to have joy and peace in the midst of the worst of circumstances. This praise was transplanted, empowered by God. But this praise also, it is transcendent. Remember, I talked about an ambidextrous faith. Faith that can last in the good and in the bad. Look what it says at the second half of verse number 7. Thou hast put gladness in my heart. Look at this. More than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. You know what they're saying there? The gladness that was in the time that corn and their wine increased, that's in a year they had a good crop. That was when they had good circumstances. Anybody can be glad in good circumstances, can't they? When things are going good, anybody can have a smile on their face. But David said, he says here, more, he says, thou hast put gladness in my heart even more than in a time that there is corn and their wine is increased. He's saying, I've got joy that's better than when things are going good. I've got joy that's good in bad times, and it's good in good times. He said, you give me a joy that transcends any situation. That's what God wants us to have. That's what we can have. But we've got to fortify our faith. So we see his praise. He worshiped. And then, and after his praise, and seems to always follow, just like Philippians 4, 6 through 8, you've got to go read it. I love that scripture. Prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, then there's peace. Look what it says, verse number 8. So David, he's possibly on the run from his son, fears for his life, gives it to God. Worships God. And kind of like we talked about last time, he says, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. He said, I'm going to go to bed, Lord. He said, he's probably thinking, I can't do anything else about this situation. I've given it to you. I'm trusting you to handle it. I'm going to go to sleep. Because Lord, he's Lord, I know you don't sleep, so you're going to take good care of me while I'm resting. I will both lay me down and sleep in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. He said, I can't do anything to keep myself safe. Lord, you're the only one that keeps me there. That is a fortified faith that trusts God. Say, God, I can't do it. That's what we need to get. That's why we struggle so much as children of God, because we think we can do something about it. In the life we live, we think, well, if we can't do it, then it can't be done. God wants to say, God, I can't do it. But you can. David admitted. See, the closer you get to God, once again, the one we'll talk more about in a moment, the more you realize you can't, which is what God wants. He wants you to get to the place where you just throw your hands up and say, God, I can't, but you can. I'm going to give it to you, and I'm going to bed. That's what it says. He had a peace. We see first that he could rest. Why? Because of his reliance upon God. If we had a fortified faith, we can have peace and rest no matter what we're going through, even in the worst of circumstances. See, and that is when we shine the brightest to this lost world. Because at that point, we've reached the end of ourselves, and the only thing showing through is God. And when the world sees God, that's when it begins to change lives. That's what we've got to do. So we've seen his persecution, we've seen his prayer, we've seen his praise, we've seen his peace. And finally, and this is where we'll camp out for until the end, we see the prescription. What is the prescription to having a fortified faith? The first thing we see here, that having a fortified faith is produced through relationship. It's produced through relationship. We see in verses 4 and 5, stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed. Be still and be still, Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. So in regards to relationship, obviously, relationship with God begins at salvation. And I know I'm probably preaching to the choir on Wednesday night. But that peace of God is not promised to someone who is not his child. But the peace of God is promised to you if you will respond in repentance and faith to the good news of the gospel and trust Christ for your soul. He will give you peace with God and then give you access to the peace of God. And then when you get in the worst storm of your life as a child of God, you can have peace in the midst of it. But it begins with salvation. I won't camp there because, once again, this is a Wednesday night crowd. And I'm sure everyone in here is saved. But if you're not, today's the day of salvation, the Bible says. Not tomorrow. You say, well, it's a Wednesday. You can get saved on a Wednesday just as good as you can a Sunday. Gospel's got power every day of the week. Praise the Lord. So we see it begins with salvation. Then it is cultivated through study of the Scriptures is where we start. We get in the Word of God. Remember, we're developing a relationship. If all my relationship with my wife consisted of was the day we got married, I kissed her at the altar and said, good to go, baby. We're good. We're married. It's all that matters. We don't need to cultivate that. Would we be very close as a couple? No. And all the ladies' faces got red right there. Sorry, man, you're in trouble now. You got to get to know them. And how do we get to know God better? Reading and studying His Word. How do we see His past faithfulness? The Word. Guess what? God's always faithful. Don't believe me. Read the whole book cover to cover. You'll see Him be faithful in every situation. And when you see Him be faithful in every situation, and then you get in a spot, you say, God, hey, I read Genesis to Revelation, and you were faithful every time to your child. And guess what? I'm your child, and I'm in a spot. Be faithful to me. And guess what? He will. See, but that's why so many Christians struggle and try to do it on their own. And are miserable in this life because they don't know the Word, which is exactly what the devil wants. Because they don't know of His past faithfulness. So they're like, woe is me, I'm in trouble. When if they had the Word hid in their heart, see, that's the key. Hide it in your heart. I guess we could say, hey, a famine may be coming in our future. Remember Joseph? God gave him a vision. He said, there's going to be 7 years of good, but 7 years of famine. What did they do in the 7 years of good? They didn't have to say, let's live high on the hog because we're going to die in the 7 years of famine. No. They stored it up in preparation for the famine. And when it came, guess what? They had plenty to get them through. That's why maybe it's good right now in your life, but store the Word in your heart. Get to know God. And guess what? As you get to know Him, in turn, you'll get to know yourself. You'll get closer to Him and you'll see yourself more. You'll see His holiness and you'll see your wickedness. And that'll make you get you where you need to be, which is on your knees in humility, understanding you are but a wretched gnat before God. And He is holy, righteous, pure, perfect, sovereign. He wants us there so that He can use us. Got to study the Word. See, that's how He speaks to us. And how do we speak to Him? Prayer, right? That's what David did. So it's produced through relationship, through salvation, through study, and through supplication, through prayer. And the reason I put study before supplication is because you know what God's favorite thing to hear us pray is? His Word. Did you know that? You know why? Because that's His will. Remember in 1 John it talks about if we pray in His will, He heareth us, and we can know that He will answer. We got His will right here. Hey, pray His Word back to Him. Say, God, this is what You said. Say you're in a financial spot. Learn all the Scriptures of God's promises to meet the needs of His children. And say, God, this is what You said You would do. I'm trusting You to do it. Pray His Word back to Him. God loves to hear that. Hey, go through these Psalms. Now, I guess you could pray them word for word, but kind of put yourself in there. Hey, I've had to pray Psalm 51 before. Maybe you have too. When I've committed sin, ask God to forgive me and cleanse me. The Bible is loaded with things to pray back to God. And when you do that, you're praying in His will. And when you're praying in His will, we have promises from the Word that He will hear and He will answer. And then that'll give us confidence and peace. So it's produced through relationship, which begins with salvation, which is cultivated through study of the Scriptures and supplication. And supplication also means be specific with God. You may say, well, He don't want to hear what I have to say. Now, there may be some people in the world that don't want to hear what you have to say, but God does. The Bible says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Nobody on planet Earth may care about what you're going through, but God does. It may seem small to the whole world, but God cares. Be specific with Him. Pour your heart out to Him. That's what David did. Hey, some of these Psalms, I'm like, wow, David, He lays it all out there.
But God wants to hear from us. He wants us to have that closer. See, the person, people you're closest to, you can pour your heart out to. See, when we're not close to God, we don't feel confident to pour our heart out to Him. But when we've had a constant line of communication, some people in this room may have friends that you talk to all the time, and then you get in a hard time, who's the first person you call? Hey, I want to tell you what's going on with me. And you just pour your heart out. You know why? You're close to Him. You feel confident to do that. Hey, we should not feel any more confident with any person on planet Earth than we should with God to pour our heart out to Him. So it's produced through relationship. And then when we produce it through relationship, it creates proper reverence. Look what it says here. Verse number 4. Stand in awe. Some people translate it as be angry. What that means is agitated, or stand in awe as in reverence and fear of a holy God. See, when we get a proper reverence for God, if we do what 1 Peter 3:15 talks about and sanctify the Lord God in our hearts, we will stand before Him in awe, in reverence, and in fear. And it will make us want to live a holy life. When we see God for who He is, holy, righteous, on the throne, and absolutely hates sin, it'll give us a hatred and a fear to sin. We got to get a big view of God. And that'll change the way we see ourselves and our sin. We'll get a proper reverence. And when we produce through relationship, we get a proper reverence. It produces reliance. Remember, that's where David was, remember? He had peace. He could rest because he relied upon God. Hey, rely upon God in the little things. The Bible says, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Hey, acknowledge God in the little stuff. Acknowledge God in everything. Ask for His direction in every situation. And you'll train yourself, no matter what it is, big or small, to rely upon Him. And then when a big thing comes up, you've been doing it the whole time, you cry out to God, you rely upon Him. And He'll direct your paths. We got to develop such a relationship that our natural response will be to immediately turn to God, just like David did. And not only turn to Him in confidence, believing that He will hear and He will be with and empower and give grace to His children. So it produces reliance. We see in verse 5, it says, offer the sacrifices of righteousness. That means live a holy life. We don't need to just get the information, but we need to be obedient. As we be obedient, He will be faithful. And as He's faithful, it will strengthen our faith. And it will motivate us to rely upon Him more. And it's just an endless cycle that develops our faith. Then it continues, it says, and put your trust in the Lord. That's a simple answer. Put your trust in the Lord. That's how you have a fortified faith. You gotta have a consistent walk with God. If you want to have a fortified faith, God can't be a spare tire that you only rely upon in times of trouble. But if you want to have a fortified faith, you need to be in constant communication with the Lord, constantly letting Him communicate with you through His Word. And then it will give you reverence for your holy God. As you have reverence for Him, you'll be humble before Him, recognizing you can't do anything in your situation, just like David did. And then you'll rely upon God. And that's what He wants. But He's got to get us to a place where we're willing to say, God, I can't, You can. Here it is. It's what David did. We saw it. David gave it to God so much so, he completely took it off him, gave it to God. He praised God. He said, I'm going to bed. Good night, Lord. You got it. David had a fortified faith. Do you? If you don't, you can. But only by His grace. We have the prescription here tonight. And may God help us by His grace to do our part to cultivate that relationship through study of the Scriptures, through supplication. We'll have a proper reverence, and then there will be reliance. And praise the Lord, He was faithful for David. I'm sure every child of God in here can say He's been faithful to us, and guess what? He will continue to be faithful. And I praise His holy name. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord Jesus, for Your Word. Thank You for how it can encourage us in our time of need.
Lord, we don't know exactly what David was going through as he wrote the psalm before us tonight, but we do know that he was trusting you. And Lord, we also know that you were faithful to him because you're always faithful. Please help us to dig into your word and to see every instance of your faithfulness. And as we see that, increase our faith. And as we live our lives, give us the grace to trust you. And as we trust you, increase our faith and prepare us for those tough situations so that when they do come, we will have a fortified faith, we'll trust you, and we can worship in the midst of a storm and lay down and sleep because we know you are in control. Lord Jesus, I love you. I pray that you give us grace to be obedient to what we've heard tonight. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So for once, the long-winded preacher got done a little.